Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Tuesday, November 13th, 2018. I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man, and so glad you could join us wherever you're at, whatever device you're listening on. I know the Lord is pleased with you for joining this show tonight, and my prayer is that you would be blessed. Amen. Now, about this November 13th thing, it's hard to believe that we're 9.5 days from Thanksgiving. 9.5 days. It seems like last week we were getting candy. Can we please get that clock to go into ultra slow mode once we get past the 22nd? Because I'd love to see it slow down to the point where certain segments, like a traffic segment or whatever radio station does, is actually sponsored by a Christmas song. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you rather be sponsored by a Christmas song than one of those other cheesy ads?
I
really would like having it be that it's sponsored by Christmas Through Your Eyes or something. Which, by the way, folks listening to me, that is a Christmas song that at some point it will be sung here on the show, because over the last few years, it has truly become one of my favorites. That Gloria lady that made it, that song is just beautiful. I know people are probably saying I shouldn't be talking about Christmas music before Thanksgiving and all that, but, well, at least I'm not singing it. So, you got me there, at least. But, I'm not going to say what day I'm going to do it. I don't know what day I'm going to do it. I do like it that Christmas is, season is as expanded that it's going to be. But in another way, I'm not going to say I am sad, but I do realize that next year it reverts to Thanksgiving being on the 28th. But I wish Thanksgiving could always be on the Thursday closest to the 20th. That's how I think it should be based,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, that would really be a lot.
Because then you could, because maybe then by the 23rd of December, you could get it to that point, like I said earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Where that stuff is sponsored by a Christmas Carol.
Right.
Because I really would like to see news stations do that.
That would be awesome, yeah.
I might do that on the show, believe it or not, folks. I just might do that. I might do that on the show. Do it where I would do an ad for McDonald's or something. I just might do that. Because I was just thinking of that idea earlier today, like where one of the commercials says, or whatever, and I thought, what if only that was actually a Christmas song? You know what commercial I mean, right?
I do, yeah.
Because I just pictured it, you know, like, and I was like, if only that was actually a Christmas song, you know, that would make it so much better. Only it was. But in a few weeks, you know, it'll start happening. And literally, like, even like a week and a half, because then a week and a half is Black Friday. By the way, last year I would have been talking about what malls I was going to go to on Black Friday and that, but right now, that is all muted right now because that depends on Midland. If Midland, when Midland wins on Saturday, then on Friday I'd be at Ford Field at the Midland game because they'd be in the state finals. And then I would go to A Mall afterwards, probably, but not to like I would have went because, as I always says it, Midland is first. By that I mean like, you know, the football. Speaking of that, they don't have a ton of sports stuff to get to tonight, and while it's still relevant, I figure I would take a little few minutes tonight and talk about, you know, some of the memories that I've seen in some of the Midland High football playoff games that I've been to. Some of it'll be good. Some of it might, you know, obviously over the years, I've seen times of triumph. I've also seen some heartbreak along the way too. And other times it's been just bitter defeats. One I can think of 3 years ago was we came off a losing season, started 6-0, lost to Lapeer. Then we won a game after that, but then we lost to Dow 49-28. And then we had a super bitter loss to Dow opening round of the playoffs, 42-7. And that was just ugly, but I'll talk more about the good, and I might get into this idea that sometimes it seems like the games in the playoffs where the band plays either the best or the most has sometimes been times when they ended up losing. Because the way I see it, the band is a very, you know, integral part of these games. It really is. But we'll be getting into that later in the program tonight. But those of you who are wondering about the holiday pies, the Christmas pies at McDonald's, at the location where I am at right now, the 1711 South Saginaw Road, across from Kmart, they had a truck back order. And I was told that the next truck comes tomorrow. So hopefully that truck will have the Christmas pies on it. And so I'm excited to kick off the eating of the Christmas pies. However, at home, I do have pumpkin whoopie pies in my fridge, courtesy of the Country Cook Stove Bakery, some of the best Amish baked goods you'll find. Now, there's not too many Amish bakeries that I know of. I wish there were more Amish, like, in metro areas that were, like, just outside of them. I really do. Like, Detroit area and stuff. There would be a big boom. They really would. Because the Amish baker, that family that makes those sweets, they're very good at their baking, their craft. And from what I understand, Amish are also really good at. Do they make art too, or just quilts? Do the Amish make art too?
Just quilts. I don't know. I know they make like a lot of wood stuff.
Or like stuff that would be like at art shows, that kind of wood.
Probably. I know they make like beds and dressers and chairs and a lot of cool like side tables and end tables and stuff. They make a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, Amish. Amish are talented for sure.
And they make good art in that. And there's several different Amish places over there around Clare where you can go and pick up some Amish stuff. And it's good stuff. I wonder why they don't get in on the art shows that the mall does or like in other places. Because they make good furniture. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Even though really what I care about is the sweets that they make. And I've been told they also make some very good pastas. Have you heard that too?
Yeah.
Yep, they make food that is meant to comfort your soul. Hallelujah. Because obviously, Jesus will comfort your soul more than any food will, but any natural food will, but
pumpkin whoopies are a close second.
That doesn't mean that some of these sweets or the whatever other foods you really like that really tantalize your taste buds. That doesn't mean it feels like it comforts your soul. You know, in a way, it can, but nothing like what Jesus can. Still feels awesome. But go check out Country Cook Stove Bakery in Clare. They close a week from tomorrow for the season, and we'll reopen in early May of 2019. And they are on South Everhart Avenue. It is a dirt road. So please, please keep that in mind. And they're only open Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. So keep that in mind as well. And you'll be very glad you stopped by to pick up some delicious items. Might be a great place to get that cherry pie or apple pie you need for Thanksgiving dinner. As the pies are only $8 a piece for regular, $8.50 for sugar-free, and they're very big. So you can't go wrong there. And remember, it's cash only, so you'll have to go through the ATM first and get some cash. All right. I'm going to do that intro and give the phone number and that, and then after that, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word of the Lord, because I want to be able to spend some good time in the Word tonight and then do the sports update and kind of take a look back at some of my most fond Midland football playoff memories. All right. So, listeners, you are an advertisement. Believe it or not, folks, listeners, you are advertisers. If you go tell people, you know, hey, there's this awesome dude, does this awesome blog talk radio show online, and I want you to go take a look, take a listen to it. You go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. After that, you click on the link that says Live in Large. After you do that, you see a bubble thing that says Miracle Man. Click on that thing. And then you'll see a button, a follow button. You see, if you do that, what you're doing is not only are you giving direction, but you're also being an advertisement. You can also begin to say something like, you know, we are real people. We all have real problems. But we serve a real God. And he is more than able to deliver us. Amen. That's one of our beliefs, Command Show. And we believe fully in faith. And our goal, my goal, is to change the world through faith and radio. And we believe in it strongly, very strongly. We believe that there is one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus. Okay? And so, we do want you to hit that follow button, because what's going to happen is you're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, 6:30, will be another episode of the Preacher and Miracle Man Show, and another episode of Football Central at 7:25, and then next week, Monday and Tuesday at 6:30, we'll do more shows. And then Wednesday, I believe we'll be having a church service, so it'll be an earlier show. So, before I give you the number, I do want to say that it is always a smart thing, a very smart thing, to listen to this program on your smartphone or your smart device, whatever you got. Because I got the Word of God. Some of these other guys might not have that. Now, we have a telephone number where you can call in and we can have a discussion. We can talk about generally whatever you want to talk about as long as it's not politics. By the way, I would really enjoy it, folks. Some of you listeners, maybe you're Midland High fans. Maybe Vaughn, even if you're listening, call in to the show and tell us, maybe you were a football player or something, your favorite, one of your favorite, most memorable Kemet playoff football memories. I'd love to hear it because, well, Midland being in the playoffs is relevant right now because we're still in it. I figured, why not? We could go back to 07 maybe. Maybe you're someone who played back in the 1990s, 90 or 93. Maybe on the undefeated team from 03 that made it to regionals, but then lost, or from 2012. Either way, we'd love to hear your stories. So, we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. And that telephone number to get into the program is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. And my assistant, Jenny, will let me know that we have a caller calling in. And then first you go through the call screener. And then she'll let me know that caller's calling in. And then I'm going to say okay. And then it'll be yours. Now, it'll just be good for you to tell Jenny who you are and where you're from, so that I can give you proper ID. And we can pray. You can criticize me. You can thank me. Or even if you went to another high school besides Midland High or Clarkston, because I was at a state semifinal. I mean, at a state final last year. And a state final, by the way, which Clarkston won both of them. So maybe you played football or was a big fan of another high school team who was known to go far in the playoffs and you have some great memories. You could still call in and share it. Now, keep in mind, it is Testimony Tuesday, so if you got miracles, call in and say that too. Wouldn't it be cool if one of you guys, maybe you were a football player and you got some other guys on the team saved? That would be one of the best things ever. Yes, it would. Now, the telephone number to call in is area code 215. 383-3810. Again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then press 1. And then you'll go through the call, go through Jenny, and Jenny will let me know that we got a caller. And I'm going to say, okay. I'll say, what say you? And when I say, what say you, that means it's yours and that you can have the floor. All right. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these listeners tonight, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. I just thank you that they all have a heart for you. I thank you that they're ready to receive this word. And that you are the God that has the answers to the storms of life. I don't know what all these people have went through today. You do. And you have the answer to it. So if a certain thing happened, you have the answer. If that happened, you have the answer. Someone got laid off. You have that answer that that this person is looking for. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And now, Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to these people, and also that they are ready to receive the word. And that you would use me as an oracle tonight, and that I would say what you would have me say tonight. rather than just maybe what I would want to say. And I give you praise and honor and glory. And I thank you, Lord, that sponsors and partners will come into this program. New equipment will come into this program. Money will come into this program. And increases in audience will come to this program. And most importantly, souls will come. Souls. Souls. People who are in need of you, Lord. They will find you. And you will run full course in their life. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Now, open up your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. Now, actually, let's go to Luke 8. And we're going to read a couple parables, and we're going to read about Jesus calming the storm. And after we do that, we are going to go to Hebrews 11, and then I'm going to exhort for a few minutes. He still calms storms today. So if you're taking notes, that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. He still calms the storm today. And I also want to encourage you real quick, whatever I do here at McDonald's for the next little bit, you do with me. If I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. As I'm studying my Bible, you study with me. Whatever I do here, you do there. Let me just check my clock. All right, we're good on time, so let's begin. Greeting. Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news about donuts and whoopies and other sweets. Oh, I wish it said that. It said to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were traveling to support them out of these women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air just came and they just ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it, and it choked the plant, fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, and those hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. But like as I was gonna tease folks and say the word of the Jesus, but even though the real meaning is the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Folks, that'd be like, well, you know, when you go to church, that'd be like the devil tries to do this to us before, during, and after church, and we can't let him. And he takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, when it gets rough, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they were on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. Verse 16 now. He talks about a lamp on a stand now. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Jenny, have you heard of someone doing that? Hiding a light in a jar under a bed? Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that cannot be disclosed, and there is nothing concealed that will not be known or be brought out into the open. Or consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Verse 22 now. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Oh, wait a minute, what's this? One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, and he rebuked the wind and the raging seas, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and the waves, and they obey him." All right, verse 26 now. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had worn clothes or had lived in a house, but he had lived in the tomb. I mean, he had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirits to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned in the water. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and they reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out. They were sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were having a party, clapping, shouting, screaming, shouting. Oh, wait. There's a problem, Mom. There's a big problem. It actually says that they were afraid. No, Mom. They didn't have that. I'm reading the Word of God. Dressed and in his right mind, it says here, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with them, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Go home and tell him how much God has done for you." So the man went away, and he told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Oh, another miracle. Verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading for him to come into his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Jenny, have you ever heard of someone like that who just had a chronic bleeding problem like this?
No, not personally. I don't think so.
It's rare. I would just see, because obviously it's here in the Bible, but I wouldn't. I know it happens, but you don't know of anyone who had this.
No, I don't think so.
But it would be like a blood disease or something like that.
Right.
Now, verse 46. Now, verse 44. She came up before him. And touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, No, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she couldn't just go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. She testified right in front of all those people. She was an advertisement. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and were mourning for her. Stop wailing. Jesus said, She is not dead. She's just asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, My child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. All right. Just 7:14, so we still have a little bit of time. Let's look at Hebrews 11 now. Thank you, Jesus. And after that, we're going to exhort for a bit, because we read about a wealth of things that Jesus did. Luke 8, you just want a lot of, you're just short on time maybe or something and want a good chapter with a lot of great things in it. No, this isn't an advertisement for McDonald's. This isn't McDonald's. This is the Word of God. Yes, I'm at McDonald's, but Luke's at 8 is a good spot to look because there's a lot of great miracles done by Jesus in that chapter. And many other great things happen in that chapter as well. So it really is just an awesome chapter that you can go to and just get some great word, because it's packed with power. It's a good power-packed chapter. But I did say that there was a specific topic from that I was going to get to. And I'm going to do that. But first, let's go to Hebrews 11. There are two sounds that someone teaching the Word of God loves to hear. One of them, a preacher loves to hear. Another one, a pastor in particular loves to hear, or a guest speaker in your church. One of them is pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. Dr. Barclay said that. Mark Barclay has said that before. You haven't heard him say that. You haven't heard me say it either, though, have you?
Not yet.
But there are two different things that pastors love to hear. And every once in a while, folks, I love to say that, you know, when we're turning, you know, especially on a night like tonight, we're going to multiple chapters, you know, and I can't say for sure that they're a pastor's two favorite sounds, but I'm sure a pastor loves them, because the pages turning means that people are paying attention, and that's great. And the checks being ripped out of checkbooks, that's good, because that means the money's a flowing. And it takes money to do the work of God. Yes, it does. So, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. By the way, what is that?
I'm not sure. You're going to get after your show.
I want to know what it is. What are they?
Like little donut things.
Or are they fried pies?
Yeah, that's it.
By the way, folks, that is an advertisement that I will get to either tonight. Actually, no, I'll do it tomorrow night. Forget about that silly advertisement thing. I'm going right back to the Word of God. By faith, Enoch. And we're in verse 5, by the way. Hebrews 11, 5. And if you're not there, just go ahead and catch up, because I'm going to keep a reading. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark in order to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. By faith, Isaac blessed Esau in regard to his future, and by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw him, that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to just enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. The walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are all surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, let's take a look at, let's take a talk about this. Luke chapter 8. Now, the first miracle, he calmed the storm. It was a very big windstorm. You have to imagine the waves were, say, a good at least 8, 10, 12 feet high. What do you think?
Yeah.
They basically, we would have had a gale warning or worse, don't you think?
Probably.
I would say possibly a hurricane warning. Yeah, to be honest with you, it was a very big windstorm. We don't exactly know how fast the wind was, but it's safe to say it was a very high rate of speed. And Jesus, I mean, first of all, Jesus is asleep at first, and then the disciples are screaming, "Master, Master, Jesus, we're going to drown." And they're like afraid, and Jesus wakes up. He calms the storm. And then they can't believe that he calmed it. And they're like, "What kind of guy is this? What is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." You know, one time we were going down to Ann Arbor. I had an appointment down there. And it was raining. Sort of hard, not like extremely or nothing, but I don't know why I did this, but I did. I said, "Rain, calm down in the name of Jesus." And then was only about a minute, and then it just about stopped. A little bit later, same thing happened. And that was kind of funny. I think that was just a coincidence there, but the wind and the sea, you know, that big storm, calm down. Well, there's storms in life. No, the kind of storm I'm talking about is not a hurricane. It could include those, but I'm just talking about going through day-to-day life. A layoff, a bad doctor's report, a notice that a family member has died, or other just very bad reports or events happening. This happened to you, that happened, this happened, that happened. You get really rough. And what I'm talking about are like these storms, like this stuff happening. I'm not just talking about leaves a little disappointment of, I had to sit through three lights going through the stoplight to get on the highway. That'd be like a little 1 or 2 foot wave, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be like a little 1 or 2 foot wave. I'm talking about this other stuff, you know, and the devil doing stuff, and you got family members that are sick and all that, and all these bad reports, you know, all that kind of stuff, and just the storms of life. Storm of life. It was really rough. You got to choose. Am I going to be afraid? Or are you going to ask God to help you? You ask God for help, He'll get you through. He's going to get you through. And you know, in California, with what's going on out there right now with this fire, whatever people ask Jesus for help, they're diligently asking God to help them. I'm sure He's helping them, because thousands of people have lost their homes in that terrible, terrible, terrible wildfire. And please keep these people in your prayers. I'm going to address that in a couple minutes when I pray before we shift gears. I know that God's going to help them, these people who ask Him for help. And they're going to have to get it, because Jesus wants to bring us through the storm. And He'll calm it. He can, you know, He wants to calm the storm. He wants to calm it for us. Amen. Now, Jesus healed a person of an evil spirit, control this man, even though he was tied hand and foot and was basically on guard, being guarded, like at all times, because he would go be in the tombs, and this demon tried to control him. He was totally free, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were sitting there and they were like, "What? This man's Christian in his right mind." Oh, no. They were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid. Just a little bit later on, He healed that girl who was bleeding, subject to constant bleeding for 12 years. And He healed her. And then, you know, all the people outside, and they're all like, "Oh, she's dead. Why bother the teacher? She wasn't dead. She was just sound asleep. She was tired." But then Jesus said to her, "Get up, my child, get up." And then he told them, his parents and the other people who were there at the house, to get her some food. Man, I like to say they gave her a nice, good sausage and biscuit and gravy breakfast or something like that. You know, something good and southern. Or maybe a chicken biscuit from Bojangles, famous chicken and biscuits, if they would have had it back then. That's what I would have got her. Would you maybe got her something like that?
Oh yeah.
I would have got her one of those chicken and biscuits, you know, that chicken with the fried you know, one of those biscuits with fried chicken on it. Yeah, but by the way, next time I'm anywhere where there's the Bojangles, I am still stopping there in the morning for breakfast to get the fried chicken biscuit. I have to. I don't have a choice. Okay, I have a choice, but I'm going to go because I want it. But nonetheless, what you saw, three different miracles in one chapter. Very powerful, very defining miracles. And people try to say God's not real. He's for today, folks. He's for today. He still heals today. He'll calm those storms in your life. He still casts out demons. He still heals those who are very, very, very sick. No matter what the condition is, cancer, a blood condition like that, still heals. He still delivers. And you had all those other parables about that seed, how it's the word of God. Man, Luke 8, you just want a quick one chapter read that's just punch full of power of God, miracles, and some good parables to go with it. Maybe instead of two shorter chapters, you want one long one. Sometimes you might be like that. If that's your case, mark Luke 8 in your Bible as that go-to chapter. Because it's so great. There's so much anointing in it. It's very powerful. And a lot of great things. All right. Lord, I thank you right now. I pray over the situation in California with these wildfires. I pray that these wildfires would stop once and for all, completely. Claim that every person would be found, every person that's marked as missing and unaccounted for would be found. I thank you that you would help these people to get their lives back together. I pray that we find out exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. So that we know what needs to happen, Lord, if we can prevent them. And I thank you that your hand is involved in this. And I pray that all of that burning will stop right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. As you do calm storms, that means, Jesus, that means you can put out that fire right now. If it's still burning. Don't it last you knew, was it still burning? Because Jesus, I don't know if it's burning, but you do. And if it is, I know you can just put it out. And I just pray that your hand is on these people out there in California. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you that we would all get this inside of us. And we will realize once and for all, you are the storm calmer. You are the God that casts out demons. And you are the one that heals people of all kinds of health conditions, whether it be something more minor or something that's been going on for 12 years. what they call that, a pre-existing condition?
Yeah.
And I know, Lord Jesus, that you heal all this kind of stuff, Lord. And I give you praise and honor and glory for this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a couple quick things on the basketball front. One, Golden State had a big loss last night. Even though Draymond Green and Steph did have a big night and some other key players had big nights, Stephen Curry was out as he was hurt. On to Michigan, ranked number 16. They play Villanova tonight. And you can listen to the game on WSGW 790 AM or on the TuneIn radio app on your phone. Pistons and Red Wings both play soon. In NFL action, the Giants held the 49ers another loss as the Niners lose 26-20. For the Giants, it is only their second win this year. I still think that Eli Manning's games with the Giants are numbered. I think you could see this being his last year. I really do. If not that this year, then next year for sure. He's getting up there in age. He's not as good as he used to be. Let's face it, the Giants haven't been doing as well as they once were. Maybe he would have been better at a different franchise for the last few years. Who knows? But it's just what's been going on right now for the Giants and for Eli. All right. I have a few different fond memories of Kemet football that I want to share. And let me just see how it is time. Okay, we got a few minutes. One of them, I'll start with this one because this was this year. Watching Midland go into Swartz Creek, who had a record basically just like us, watch them put away Swartz Creek 50-28, and watching Dow overcome a 10-point deficit in order to beat Flushing and set up that Midland-Dow rematch. That was really special. And then to watch Midland, and for the first 2.5 quarters, itself tangled, and for a while it could have went either way. But then late in the third quarter and into the fourth, Midland High Chemex totally stepped on the gas, and they were just making plays left and right, doing what they needed to do. A fumble resulted in Midland getting the ball back, and they were just making plays, making it count. And then there was this last week. A lot of people were doubting us. There was a poll on Twitter put out by the D-Zone. We got to choose to vote. I voted Midland. Only 25% of people voted for Midland. 75% voted for Walled Lake Western. Isn't that crazy?
That is not a
close vote.
No, not at all.
Unless you're, and as far as voting, unless you're a certain, like, very opinionated district, that doesn't happen. And as far as actual voting and elections,
mm-hmm.
but it did in this case. And it wasn't the one that was the least close. There were others that were even less close than that for some games. But we went down there and gave them a whooping, 3-0. The first shutout and the biggest spread of the year. And that was awesome. Now, another special time. 2008, being on the road in Auburn, Midland Bay City Western. First, okay, so no one kicks the ball off. Bay City Western gets the ball. Bay City Western has a quarterback who had been out for a couple weeks. He broke his hand or something like that. He then had been in a cast. And then he had gotten out of the cast on game day. What does he do when he gets out there? 82-yard touchdown pass to a receiver. 82 yards. Boom, boom, boom. Touchdown Bay City Western. And then Midland came back and tied it. But then Bay City Western got another touchdown in the first half to make it 14-7. And then Midland made it 14-10. But then second half, Midland totally shut them down. They let them get closer. They let them get kind of close to the end zone, but then Midland made a good stand. So that was another really good memory of mine, was that, because we had some adversity at first. We overcame it and won. Then, this might be the best one. Actually, from 07, there was a couple stories of triumph that I can think of. Week one, we were kind of not playing of the playoffs in 07. We were kind of not playing so well. Made some mistakes against Saginaw Arthur Hill. It's like we'd score back, but it wouldn't quite be all the points we needed. And it was almost the end of third quarter, and I was thinking, well, we might end up being done tonight. And then basically right then I was like, I think we're going to make something out of this. We did. We marched down the field, got a touchdown. Then we marched down and got another one. We were down by like 4 or 5, or maybe 3. And we ended up winning by 14 points, 43-29. And then the next week, I'm thinking, in Bay City against the Wolves of Bay City Central, I was asking, the assistant coach in gym class that day, what do you think? He's like, I think we'll win. I think it'll be close. I do think they're a little faster than us, but I think we're ready to go. I like what I'm seeing. I like what we've been seeing out of our kids. And then I said, okay, Coach Mettner, I agree. So 48-6, we crush them on their home field in their district championship. Then, Davison, we get them with a low 7-3 score. Davison easily could have won because they got a touchdown, but then it was called back for a penalty. Then, the best one, Lowell. we come down from down 28-7. We come back from being down 28-7 at halftime to win 31-28, and we had to do a goal line stand with like a few seconds left in the fourth quarter to keep Lowell out of the end zone because they were that close to spoiling our party and keeping us from Ford Field. Then at Ford Field, we actually went up 14-0 at one point, and then 21-7. That didn't. And so, well, as we lost 47-21, I think based on the amount of effort we showed, it should have been a little bit closer than that. But those are, like, my favorite playoff comic football memories. I told you about these to talk about, you know, times where we've had to face adversity, meaning, like, it had been tough when we had to go to Bay City Central in 07. I didn't know what to expect because in 05 and 06, when we had to go to a Bay City school to play round two of the playoffs, we lost both of those. Both of them. 05 at Western, 06 at Central. Mind you, by 1 point in 06. That story I chose not to tell because we let that whole thing slip away from us. 07, we didn't. We ran the table. Nobody ran the table. So, Kimmick football, I'm glad that we've made it for the second year in a row. And I'm glad that we're making the semifinals. And it's been a great ride. I've been waiting for this for a long time to get to see Midland get here. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'll let you know my pick for the Mona Shores game tomorrow. And if Dow was still in the playoffs, I would not be saying this. But at least for today, for this weekend, that's going to be a wrap. And until tomorrow night, folks, go Blue. No Midland. No. Go Michigan. And God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you tomorrow. And so long, everybody.